Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I hate to break it, you're not the same as anyone here, but we can take it. We're short or brown or round or we're queer. I got a feeling we are onto something here.
Live from the London Podcast Festival, the Spontaneity Shop presents Global Pillage, the comedy panel show starring you, the hive mind of the audience.
And if you're worried, trouble might be coming your way. In it together, I think that's what I heard the man say. I got a feeling we are gonna be okay.
Shimon, and this is Global Pillage, the comedy panel show which celebrates the infinite variety of human endeavor and definitely doesn't get cheap laughs by mocking the weird things people do in different countries. And speaking of weird things from different countries, let's meet today's comedians. On my left, playing for the colonies, we have Alice Frazier and Zoe Brownstone. And on my right, playing for Gilead, we have Shazia Mirza and Esther Manito. So, my panelists, what boxes can you tick on the great diversity and inclusion monitoring form of life? Why don't you start off, Zoe?
Jewish. Ting! yeah, that's kind of it. Jewish lady.
Jewish lady.
Sikhs man.
Sikhs man, yes. That is my Facebook profile, yes.
Very cool. I like how you just right away, you're like, I've ticked these boxes on forms before. Yeah, I know how to do it. Yeah. And what about you? Oop, there we go.
My dad's side of the family is Jewish. My mum's side of the family is Catholic. They met in the late 70s in suburban Sydney in Australia. So, of course, I was born and brought up Burmese Buddhist. I am oppressed, repressed, and depressed.
Very good. Good for you. And what about you, Esther?
My dad is from Lebanon. My mum is from Gateshead, the old classic combo. And I'm born and bred Essex. So I think that definitely ticks a lot of boxes.
And what about you, Shazia?
My Muslim Pakistani from Birmingham.
All right, ready to tell us things he found out yesterday, but in a voice which implies that it's the kind of general knowledge any intelligent person should have. In Pennant's Corner, it's Ned Sedgwick. Hello. And bringing beautiful music from ebony and ivory, it's Samuel Wolf on the keys. So, Ned, have you had a global experience this week?
Well, I've realised this is the seventh year we've been at the London Podcast Festival. Ooh. And the fourth year since we've done a full series of Global Pillage. So, slightly odd dynamic there. But I went back and re-listened to the first episode, and I used to be asked what my diversity was. Nish Kumar accused me of being a coloniser within a minute, so we had to stop doing that. But back then it was pre-Brexit, pre-Trump, pre-Me Too, pre-everything. And it's amazing how much the world has moved on, and yet I am still here.
I was watching a live Bugle once. I was in the audience next to Nisha's mum, and she leaned over about halfway through the show, and she said, you know, when he says kill all white people, he doesn't really mean it.
Oh,
I was like, thanks, Mrs. Kumar.
All right, guys. Every week, Samuel creates a scores jingle for us from an old folk tune. So over to you, Samuel. What have you come up with this week?
Well, thank you very much. Today's folk tune is made popular by Moldovan musicians. It is sung in the Romanian language. So apologies to anyone out there that can speak Romanian. I cannot, and I can barely sing in it either. But it's English translation. It's called Words of Love. You want to leave but don't want to take me. Your face and the love of the linden trees remind me of your eyes. Isn't that so pretty?
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Yeah, this song is 241 months old, and it sounds like this. Resta plesta, numa numa ye, numa numa ye, numa 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 ye, ci putau si dragostea di te, mi-amintesc și ochii tăi. Yeah, I'd never heard that one before.
It's beautiful.
And so we're going to turn that into our little score sing today. And I'm going to sing. As the round ends, Ned, what are the scores? Ned, what are the scores? Ned and Ned, what are the scores, please?
Very good. Give yourselves a round of applause. Give Sam a round of applause. First up is our themed round. And this week we'll be asking questions on the subject of dolls and puppets. Well, it was either that or Nuclear Armageddon, but we thought dolls would be more fun, and what can I say? I'm a Barbie girl. All the teams get a chance to answer, but you get more points if you buzz in first with the correct answer. The hive mind gets a chance to answer after both teams of comedians answer. So, is everyone ready? Fingers on buzzers.
Oh, we've actually got buzzers.
Yeah, we have buzzers.
Those listening at home, we got buzzers. Real buzzers. It's not just SFX put in afterwards.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. We pay no expense. No expense getting those at the dollar store. Sorry, Poundland.
The sexiest dollar store.
All right, your first question. What happens to disused dolls at the Japanese Ningyo Kyuyo ceremony? Right there, Gilead, you came in first. What happens to the dolls?
I think they're all melted down and then used to build schools in the UK.
Yes, go for it, Alice.
I think they're used as models for broken doll pick-me girls in Joss Whedon projects.
Such a specific joke, which is only going to be got by about...
Oh, but the people who get it get it so hard.
They get it so hard
as if they were in Poundland. Come on.
Very good. I like that. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yeah, go for it.
I believe those dolls are shredded, rolled up and wrapped in seaweed and served at Itsu.
All right. They're turned into commercial sushi. Okay. All right. Anyone else? They're used as vibrators. I'm going to go ahead and say that one's not it. I'm going to go and say that's not it. What about hive mind? Do you guys have any ideas of what happens to disused dolls at the Japanese Ningyo Kyuyo ceremony?
They're given to orphans.
They're given to orphans. That's a very good option.
Shipped overseas in dubious circumstances.
Shipped overseas in dubious circumstances. I like that very much as well. All right, so these are your two options. So are they shipped overseas under dubious circumstances? Buzz now. Everyone's very dubious about that as an answer. And if you think it's given to orphans, buzz now. All right, so I feel like more of you thought it was given to orphans. In truth, they are given a funeral. So I feel like...
So I was right.
Yeah, you were kind of right in the fact that you said they're melted down.
Not really.
And Ned's like, absolutely not, I'm in charge of points.
It's kind of not a funeral at all.
It depends on what funeral you're going for.
And then they get put into buildings which then crumble and deteriorate. Mm. I think that's pretty kind of end-of-life
funeral
situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
My sister wants to be buried and then turned into mushrooms.
I want to be put in the compost.
And so... it's thought that dolls have souls in Shintoism. So they're given like proper purification when they're not needed anymore, like purification in funeral ceremonies, so their souls can go and live not in the British schooling system, I think the implication is.
I see. If dolls have souls, I am accountable for many crimes. I've done some real fucked up shit, man. I'm on that special tonight on Channel 4. If dolls have souls.
As most girls have who've ever owned a Barbie.
Yeah.
That's how you get weird Barbie. Okay, second question. In the traditional British Punch and Judy shows, what is the role of the bottler? Yes, the colonies.
He's the man who stands off to the side and bottles the satirical misogyny to sell to edgelords and Andrew Tate stans. Unfortunately, while misogyny has a long shelf life, irony becomes inactive almost immediately. So by the time it hits retail, it's just mainly misogyny with an almost undetectable level of satire.
Thoughts?
Yeah, that's what... Me too.
Yeah. Okay. All right, that's the colony's answer. What about Gilead? What do you think it might be?
Maybe the bottler is just the person in the town with a bottle that all the women can go to, who then just goes around and bottles all the blokes who have been punching them with... What was it they used? A bat. Yeah?
Wait, so you think the bottler is... A man who bottles men.
No, I don't reckon it would be a man, would it? I reckon it'll be a woman who then goes around and bottles all the blokes who've been hitting the women with bats.
The puppet women or the real women? I have so many questions.
There are no real women.
Okay, yeah, of course.
This is Punch and Judy.
This is Punch and Judy, you're right.
The bottler is Richard Madeley. Because it's Richard and Judy, isn't it?
No, it's Punch and Judy.
Yeah, but the British version is Richard and Judy.
As an American, I'm just reading the cards with confidence.
Did you never watch Punch and Judy?
I have done absolutely no research.
Do you know what Punch and Judy is?
It's a puppet show where they have weird looking faces and one does hit the other with a bat.
So the man hits the woman with a bat. Oh, and they used to bring it into schools and we'd all watch it in assembly.
Wait, I thought this was from like the Renaissance.
Did anyone else
have
that?
That's the American version.
Remember that in assembly.
That's the
way to do it. He used to hit her and go, that's the way to do it.
That's what the Americans do.
They and she'd be holding a baby. Like yeah.
Well, in the English version, Richard and Judy, Richard Madeley, basically, he's the bottler because he goes and picks up Judy's alcohol.
Oh, it all makes sense.
Well, that's nice of him.
He's really nice man.
All right. These fabulous answers. Hive Mind, we go to you. What do you think? In the traditional British Punch and Judy shows, which I have now learned is Richard and Judy, what is the role of the bottler?
It's a guy that stands around near the tent and stops anyone from leaving.
A guy who stops anyone from leaving.
Like kettling.
Also, people that watch Punch and Judy, what was the crocodile about? Do you remember that? He what? There was the sausages, yes!
What is this thing you watched as children?
Oh, my God!
So we had Mr. Rogers!
It was domestic violence with sausages and crocodiles. What was that about? That's blown my mind. What was the... No, I tell you why, because Punch stole the sausages. So the policeman would be after him, and then he'd go home and hit his wife. But what was the crocodile?
Spoilers.
I have no idea. In Australia, we had Happy Healthy Harold, where you'd go into a van and there would be a giraffe who would tell you about sex and healthy eating, like normal children.
Okay, there's few things that I think America does better, but as far as puppet shows, we had Mr. Rogers, and that was really freaking wholesome and adorable. And I don't know what this explains so much about the country I'm living in. Jesus Christ. Was there someone else who raised their hand? Yes, sir. What did you think it was?
A big bottle of sugar and E numbers to make the kids go hyper.
It's a big bottle of sugar to make the kids go hyper. Okay, very cool. Anyone else?
Is that the name of the stick?
Is it the stick?
That he used to beat his wife with.
The stick is the bottler. I like that thought. And then we had one more.
bottles the crocodile's tears. So the crocodile.
I don't think the crocodile cried, though, did it?
Is he?
No one has any remorse.
I feel like
this
is like regressive therapy.
Situation.
What happened with the sausages?
I really don't want to think about this for much longer. So that means that hive mind. Do you think the bottler's guy who stops people from leaving buzz now? All right. If you think the bottler is sugar to make the kids more hyper, buzz now. Okay. I feel like not everyone.
He didn't even buzz for his own idea. Someone else did. He literally just went, "Who buzzed for that?" It's like you said it.
If you think the bottler's the stick, buzz now. All right. And if you think the bottler holds the bottle of crocodile tears, buzz now. All right. That was unanimous, I think. That was unanimous. So, hive mind, you thought it was the stick. In reality, the bottler is to collect money from the crowd in an old bottle, also to hype up the crowd. So basically, they're like the very first people to do a bucket speech at the Edinburgh Fringe Show. That's what they are.
I would have given you if you'd buzzed for the guy who doesn't let people leave. But I don't think you even buzzed that. So I feel like a teacher because I'm kind of standing. I don't think you need to back yourself. No, it was a great answer. But,
you need to believe
you know,
it.
You can't trust the crowd. We've learned again and again. Yeah, so...
That's why democracy doesn't work.
Exactly. We've been doing this for 7 years. This is the first time I've ever had a Punch and Judy question, and now I see why, because it is quite psychopathic. There are usually articles, when I was kind of researching, there's loads of articles in the Daily Mail and the Sun saying Punch and Judy cancelled because it glorifies violence, which it does. But having recently seen Britain's foremost Punch and Judy exhibitionist, I can tell you it hasn't been cancelled because of the violence. It's been cancelled because it's complete dog shit. So bad. There's no narrative. There are no jokes. It's just somebody being like, I'm going to hit you now. Anyway, enough about Mrs. Brown's boys.
Burn.
Yeah, dated reference there.
All right. In Somali weddings, a hairdo is a container covered in white fabric signifying the bride. One of the bride's friends tangles a complicated mass of knots around it, and one of the groom's friends attempts to undo the knots. But before he undoes the knots, what must he do first? Yes, colonies.
He must restrain himself from trying to explain how to tie a knot to the bridesmaid.
Brilliant. I love that. And Gilead, do you have any ideas?
He does jazz hands.
He ticks the box on the paper slip that was handed to him by the bride's friends that say, do you like the bride, ? On behalf of his friend, the groom. Does your friend like my friend? Say yes or no.
Very possible. Very.
And then they get married.
Double married.
Double married.
She marries both of them.
No. The...
No. Then the groom and the...
And what's the crocodile about?
Think about the crocodile anymore. Hive mind, any guesses? What does the groomsman do before he unties the knots?
That was a really confident hand up.
Put a blindfold.
Does he put a blindfold on? Okay.
Oh, like a magic trick.
Okay, blindfold, yeah.
And
because
then saws her in half.
Yeah. Someone else raise their hand? Was it, yeah? Oh, blessings upon the bar.
That sounds authoritative.
Yeah, someone's here to play.
Someone's been to a Somali wedding.
It happens every episode. Suddenly the hive mind get a taste of blood and they're like, we can beat these people.
Does he have to pay a fee or like put money on the box? I guess it's kind of like the blessings, but like...
Does he have to
financial
pay a fee on the box? All right, so if you think the first thing the man has to do is put on a blindfold, buzz now. Okay. If you think the man has to bring blessings to the box, buzz now. All right. If you think he has to pay a fee, buzz now. I like it that your buzzes sound, like, for your answer, Sam, your buzzes sound a little louder, but that's just because you have a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So the hive mind guessed blessings on the box. In reality, before the man attempts to undo these knots, he has to lift the veil. This thing that's covered in knots is to symbolize the bride, right? So before he undoes the knots, he has to lift the veil.
If you were listening to the question, it says, is a container covered in white fabric?
Oh, yeah.
There's a clue in that. But I will give a bonus question because I thought people might not get that. What is in the container? And to shout out anything.
Sausages.
Correct. You get a point. It's cured meat.
Oh, no way!
Who'd have thought it? Punch and Judy comes back all these years later.
And that's the end of the round.
As the round ends, Ned, what are the scores? Ned, what are the scores? Ned and Ned, what are the scores, please?
So the colonies and Hive Mind are tied in second place with 0 points. But Gilead are leading with 1 point.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The next round is everyone's favorite round.
Idioms!
Very good. So, here's the question, fingers on buzzers. What is the meaning of this foreign phrase, which we have literally translated into English? In Tamil, they say, you caught a rabbit with three legs. What does that mean? You caught a rabbit with three legs. Yes, the colonies.
You landed a man with a very long penis. Think about it.
I mean, I don't think anyone had to think that hard about that one. It's very good.
I mean, that implies that a rabbit has two legs and two arms.
Are we on the same team or are we not on the same team?
No. But I would have thought that someone else already got the lucky rabbit's foot and all that's left is the unlucky rest of the rabbit. So maybe it's like bad luck.
That's
maybe
a way better answer.
No. Let's go with your one. I think your one's better because penises are funny.
You caught the three-legged rabbit. You got legless.
You got legless, which means you got drunk. You got drunk. What is it that? Do you have any guesses, Shazia?
You got a man with three legs.
You got a man with three legs.
I think it could be a euphemism for three nipples.
Three nipples. A three-nippled man.
You know, like in that James Bond film, Scaramanga had three nipples.
Yes, of course. We all remember that from the James Bond film.
Some men have three nipples, so I think it could be that.
Okay, so it could be about a three-nippled man.
A three-nippled man with a large penis who's legless is coming your way.
Slowly.
Slowly.
We can only hope.
Just dragging his schlong.
Hive Mind, what do you think it is? You caught a rabbit with three legs. Yes?
It was an easy win.
Easy win?
Mm-hmm.
Easy win.
You say things very confidently and lure us into this. She's just like, an easy win. I don't need to phone a friend.
Yes, right here. Yes.
More than you expected.
You got more than you expected. You caught a rabbit with three legs more than expected. Okay. And then, yes?
You won, but it's a Pyrrhic victory. It's a useless victory.
You won, but it's a useless victory. Okay. Very cool. All right. So, hive mind, if you think you caught a rabbit with three legs means it's an easy win, buzz now. All right. If you think it means you got more than what was expected, buzz now. Sam's with you. If you think it means what you got was useless, buzz now. I think it's that. They went for that one, didn't they? Yeah. Cool. All right. In truth, it means you are refusing to change your mind even though you're wrong. I mean, an example of this being Donald Trump insisting he's innocent. Guys, I said what was on the card. Did you like it?
Yeah, I personally think long penis is still the best and most accurate answer.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't get that from that.
You wouldn't get that you caught a rabbit with three legs. You wouldn't get that. You're refusing to change your mind.
I used to live in Tamil Nadu, and I remember saying...
Oh, well.
Yeah, and I didn't know what it meant. But I remember saying to somebody that I worked with, I went, oh, you're as fit as a butcher's dog. And they were just like, what the... And so there you go.
And
just enjoy that, guys.
If you're fit as a butcher's dog, does that
do you
mean
not know
really
the expression?
Ugly?
Is that also a Tamil expression?
No, it's an English expression.
Does that mean you have a long penis and you're drunk? Yeah.
Wait, save it for the teams round. You know they don't know the answer.
Fit as a butcher's dog.
Fit as a butcher's dog.
All right, yeah, I'll ask you that later. Yeah, it's an English phrase.
Yeah,
you never heard that.
I'm not from
none
here.
Of them are English.
Yeah, I know, but still, actually, does anyone still use that?
Yeah, well, that's like me being like, well, don't come the raw prawn with me. Everyone knows what that means.
No, but I mean, don't you? But you live here, so haven't you heard people say it?
No,
because we're not from the 40s.
It's not the 40s.
Hive mind. If you know what you're as fit as a butcher's dog means, buzz now.
Everybody knows.
Okay.
Show off.
Everyone knows except... If you don't know what it means, buzz now.
Yeah. I think it's 50-50.
I think some people both knew and didn't know. They're Schrodinger's knowledge.
All right, guys. In Italian, they say, the louse has a cough. What does that mean? The louse has a cough. Fingers on buzzers.
It means you have tiny ears.
It means you have tiny ears.
Or the world's smallest stethoscope.
The world's smallest stethoscope. Oh, I get it, because a louse would be very tiny and to hear it cough. Ah, very clever. Very clever. Shazia, do you have any ideas?
I think it means you've got nits.
And you've got nits.
Oh.
Because, you know, nits are louse.
Yes.
And when they've got a cough, it means they're alive.
Of course. Of course, yeah. Yes.
I think the louse has a cough means someone's been gossiping about you.
Oh.
But what?
It's not just penis stuff, all right?
That's good. I like that. I think it's it's like a Jiminy Cricket-style character in a British panto whose job is to cough suggestively when anyone comes up with a double entendre, just so that the audience gets that it's sex.
Yes.
I could use that.
Always having a rummage around in her bush.
And hive mind, what do you think? The louse has a cough. What do you think it might mean? Yes.
Things are getting worse.
Things are getting worse.
Oh. There's an Italian in the audience.
Because even the louse has a cough.
And I've never heard of it.
You've never heard of it.
Have you heard of fit as a butcher's dog?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right, so hive mind, you think it might mean things are getting worse. Anyone else?
It's playing a tiny violin.
Yeah, like, oh, you're playing the world's tiniest violin, meaning it's the person's a whiner. Okay, cool. If you think it means things are getting worse, buzz now. Okay, again, not the person who said it buzzed, but good job. If you think the louse has a cough, means you're playing the tiniest violin that the person's a whiner. Buzz now. Okay, all right. It means you've come up with a bad excuse.
And I think it's similar, my reading, to the tiny violin and what Esther said. So lots of points flying around. Oh. Sadly, none flying to the colonies.
This is where we fight
this
to
is
the
rigged.
Death.
This yeah. is rigged. This game is rigged.
Yeah, who would have thought a game run by UK people would be taking points from the colonies,
shocking.
Leaving us with fucking nothing, classic. Stripping us of our natural resources.
Class, what are you going to put your face on our money now, too?
Sounds like the louse has a cough.
All right, guys. In Danish, they say, "You're not someone I can bite spoons with." What does that mean? You're not someone I can bite spoons with. Fingers on buzzers. Yes, the colonies, Alice.
So it's Danish, right? Every Dane I have ever known has hated innuendo and unclear speech. So I'm going to put my money on literally they don't want to bite a spoon with you, like your teeth look weak or something.
All right. Very, very cool. You think it's literal?
Absolutely literal.
Literal.
Yeah.
Okay. Zoe, do you have any ideas?
I don't, but I think it's the first part of a two-statement sentence, which is, you're not someone I'd like to bite spoons with, but I might like to fork you.
I like that. You don't have an answer, but you have a finish. Very cool. And Gilead, any guesses?
I literally have no idea. I was just like, oh, sharing spoons, but...
You're not someone I can bite spoons with.
Bite spoons with.
You think that means I want to share a spoon with
no,
you.
No, I don't want to share a spoon
I
with you.
I don't want to share
don't
a spoon.
Don't want to share a spoon with you, or I don't want to...
I don't want to lick you.
You don't want to lick
I mean, that's not something you commonly have to say.
Well, sounds I don't like want you to lick Tesco's.
Sometimes you have to make yourself clear these days.
Yeah.
You know, Channel 4 tonight. You do have to make yourself clear. Yeah. I don't want to lick you. You're not somebody I want to, like, lick your spoon with.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want to share food with you.
You don't want to share food, okay.
Right. Or is it? Could it possibly be something where it's like, I don't want to go through something painful with you?
Yeah, like, that's what I was thinking. Like, let's not do
on a spoon, like, because someone's about to electrocute you.
Yeah, or let's not do, like, team labor
together.
You know, like, synchronized baby having.
Yeah.
Like, synchronized swimming, but so much worse.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
How did you jump all the way to team labor?
Team labor.
Team labor.
Like let's do synchronized. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Sorry. I thought you were like, I don't want to lick spoons with you. I don't want to have a baby at 15.
It's a bite spoons. Like, I'm thinking wooden spoons is what we're thinking. Wooden spoons.
Oh, yeah. You bite down on a wooden spoon.
Yeah, right. To stop from
back in the 40s where I'm from.
I didn't mean you're
back
from
in the
40s.
Day where I was fit as a butcher's dog. Oh, no.
No, I didn't mean you're from the... It just sounds like an old-timey saying. I'm going to stop talking now. Otherwise, I'm going to get fired. A hive mind, what do you think it means? You're not someone I can bite spoons with. Yes, you, sir?
That you're greedy or selfish because you're going to take too much of the spoon.
That you're greedy. I like that. Anyone else? Yes, you, my friend?
I can't have a serious conversation with you.
You can't have a serious conversation. Yes?
I can't have an argument with you because you're really weak.
Okay, can't have an argument.
Like, your teeth are so... Your mouth is so strong, you could bite them.
You'd
win a spoon biting competition.
Yeah, yeah. And then you had one as well? Same. Oh, interesting. Oh, the hive mind is hiving. It's coming together, guys. You're doing a good job. I believe in you. Okay, hive mind. If you think you're someone I can bite spoons with, if you think it means you're greedy, buzz now. Okay, if you think it means you can't have a serious conversation, buzz now. All right, if you think it means I can't argue with you, buzz now. Excellent. Okay, so you think it's you can't have an argument. In reality, it means you are pedantic, hard to work with. And someone in the front row just went, yeah, Ned. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. But more because my unreliability than that. I'm going to give it to the hive mind.
Oh,
yeah, I think that's fair enough.
And that's the end of the round.
As the round ends, Ned, what are the scores? Ned, what are the scores? Ned, what are the scores, please?
So only 2 points separating all three teams. Yeah. The Colonies with 0 points are in third place, and tied in first place with 2 points apiece are the Hive Mind and Gilead.
Very well done. Very well done. Okay, guys. The next round is the teams round. A member of each team has come prepared with a question based on their cultural or family background. Maybe they have a weird ritual or custom which seems totally unfamiliar, like they only meet strangers on a Wednesday or they don't eat dinner in front of the television. So, Gilead, what is your question for the Colonies?
Muslims go to the mosque to pray, but there are some occasions when they just don't let women in. What are they?
Bit of a minefield of a question there.
I've never been so happy not to be a panelist.
You're asking a couple of Jews.
Do you want to go first?
Absolutely not.
Okay, when they don't allow women in to pray.
Into the mosque
to pray.
So you just have to go out, just have to hang out outside.
They're just not allowed.
They're not allowed in.
They're not allowed to go anywhere near the mosque.
Of all the days of the week, I would say it would be Man Day.
That deserves a point.
Thank you. I feel like I navigated that minefield quite well.
When she's in labor.
Yeah.
Not allowed into the mosque if she's having a baby right there and then.
I'm not seeing that myself, but... That's not on the list, okay. I'm afraid.
All right. And
Hive Mind knows. This is a Hive Mind who knows.
Do you actually know it?
Well, I think by the menstruating team, we're not allowed
I was going to say that, but then I was like, I don't want to get cancelled.
Shazia, what's the answer?
Well, there's a few.
Okay.
One of them is that if they've had sex and they have not washed, they're not allowed to go in.
How do you know?
But they know, don't they? You know.
It's an honesty thing.
Okay. I'm going to stop you right there. Because I was under the impression there's a person at the door being like, no. It's an honesty. I mean, okay.
What gave you that impression?
I don't know. I'm an idiot. That's why.
Yeah, an honesty box for honest boxes. Like,
didn't mention.
If you've been round the corner doing it like at Regent's Park Mosque behind the bins,
fair.
And then you did not wash before going in, that's not on.
Fair, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good rule generally. Always wash after bin sex.
Yeah. Before prayer.
Are you all right with that?
Yeah. Between prayer and bin sex, there should
bins,
be.
Bins, bus
washing.
Stops, yeah. Anything
also,
like that.
Also, do a wee to prevent a UTI.
There you go. Yeah. Safety first, ladies.
Okay.
What are some other
The lady
reasons?
Was right there about menstruation.
Oh,
you're on your period, you're not allowed in the mosque.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Because you're considered dirty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And now the Colonies. What is your question for the audience? So this one is for you guys.
What?
Yeah. Ooh. So
I want them to suffer.
No.
Albert. Okay. This is really unfair.
It's called a cycle of abuse.
Yeah. Seriously. Okay, this past week there was an important Jewish holiday. What was it? And there is a two-part question, and there's a second part. So who knows the first part?
I feel like you were celebrating it.
Rosh Hashanah?
Yes, cheating, though.
It was Rosh Hashanah.
Cheating. No, that's cheating.
And then, okay.
Second part of the question. What year is it in the Jewish calendar?
All right. The second
he's Jewish enough to know it, but not Jewish enough to be doing something with his family tonight.
I know.
You're close.
Wait, what did you say?
5760.
Yeah. Okay.
Further.
400, 800.
North London.
It is
5748, which is also the parameters on my Hinge profile. Thank you very much. Thank you. That whole joke was just so I could say that line.
Very good.
Thank
well
you
done.
For sticking with me.
All right. Beautiful. Well, well done. You guys got the first half right on that. And then Charlene, you have a question for Gilead here. Charlene is from France. Into the microphone. What is your question for Gilead?
So what does it mean when French people say that something is like peeing in a violin?
Like urinating.
Yeah. Yes, urinating.
Like what you do before in bin sex.
After
bin sex.
Because then you don't have
to learn your bin sex etiquette.
In a violin. Peeing. Urinating in a violin.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Pissing into the wind.
Into
pissing
the
like
in a violin.
Something that's mute. I mean, would it make a nice sound?
Wind in the willows.
I don't think that's a thing that people say though. What could it mean?
Music to my ears.
Well, we know what Shazia is into.
Maybe it's a variation on wetting your whistle.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's not your question, girl.
I know,
can
but
we
that's
steal?
So clever.
Yeah,
you wetting
can
your whistle.
You can steal?
What does that mean?
No, they can steal.
We can steal. Wetting your whistle.
Is something like wetting your whistle?
Peeing into a violin and wetting your whistle. No,
having a drink.
All right. Charlene, what does it mean?
It means to do something absolutely useless.
Checks out.
Yeah, kind of like all of our comedy careers.
Fit as a butcher's dog.
Hey. What does it mean?
Yeah.
What, doing something useless?
No, I'm asking you.
Oh, you're asking us.
Oh, yes. You're asking us.
Fit. I love the way you believe it.
Okay, fit as a butcher's dog would be not very fit, I would imagine, because a butcher's dog would be eating scraps.
No,
from the butcher.
No.
Well, then it's stupid and I hate
no,
it.
No, very high protein dog who's been eating a lot of meat.
Yeah.
So he'll like hench.
Yeah. He's paleo. He's
super
a paleo dog.
Oh, is that what paleo is?
A bully XL.
It's just you eat a lot
is what
of,
we're
yeah.
talking.
Super
yeah.
fit.
He's hot. He's Major, really fit.
Yeah.
Like that kangaroo that everyone has the horn for.
What?
Have you not seen the sexy kangaroo?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You've got to see the sexy kangaroo.
You guys haven't lived.
Yeah, like, just Google sexy kangaroo. You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah. He's ripped. Yeah. He's jacked.
What
yeah.
is going on?
Fit as a kangaroo.
Yeah. And that's the end of the round.
Hey. As the round ends, Ned, what are the scores? Ned, what are the scores? Ned, just Ned, what are the scores, please?
The colonies are off the mark with half a point. In joint first place.
Oh, sorry, the scoring is like golf, right? The lower you are, the better you're doing, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Gilead and Hive Mind with -3.5 based on that parameter are leading it. Yeah, we're 3.5.
Oh.
There's still time.
This is the final round right here. So we're going to figure out who's going to win between Gilead and the Hive Mind and maybe the colonies. Okay, so this round is a quick fire round. Hive Mind, if you know the answer, shout buzz, then shout out the answer as loud as you can, right? So don't wait for me. Just like if you are a person who knows it, go buzz and then answer, right? Which American franchise's latest film was given the subtitle Deadly Position for its Arabic release? Yes, Gilead.
Baskin Robbins.
Colonies, what do you think it is?
Mission Impossible, for sure.
You are right, it's Mission Impossible.
That's right, that's right. We're coming back, folks.
All right, question number two. What part of a table are the Victorians said to have covered because they were considered too productive? The legs! The colonies got that again. All right. What is the Simpsons version of Barbie called? Malibu Stacy. You guys... question four. According to American philosopher and guitarist Robert Zimmerman, how many roads must a man walk down before he can call himself a man? Colonies!
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind! Question five. From what item of clothing does the term drag come from?
The skirt.
You'll take that?
We'll allow it.
All right, the long dress is dragging the floors. You are very surprising. In England, we call it black pudding. In France, what is it called?
Boudin noir.
Boudin noir, yes. One for the hive mind. Okay, finish this Algerian idiom about relationships. While I'm digging a grave for the victim, you're...
Buzz, killing them.
All right, Sam in with killing them. Okay.
Lowering the body.
Lowering the body.
Digging a grave for me.
Digging a grave for me. Okay.
Partying.
Partying. Okay. The answer was eloping with the gun.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
I knew that one.
It's a woman saying that of a man. So okay. It's like, well, I'm digging a grave for your victim. You're running
Algeria,
off with
a gun. Watch out.
Yeah.
What British subculture is this Wikipedia description of? Popular with women and gay men, it's often revolved around the standing of usually British female celebrities who are often pop singers, reality television stars, and soap opera actresses and characters who are considered gay icons. Gilead went with fag hags. That is not the answer, but I see where you're at. Women and gay men who are often standing British female celebrities. Yes.
What is the show Absolutely Fabulous? That's a deep cut, and it was really good. Thank you for seeing that. Game sees game. Thank you.
Okay.
Do people want more from the Wikipedia page? Yes. Yeah. Originating from the term of endearment, honey celebrates, naff and deifies soap opera reality TV stars. No.
And you forgot to say buzz.
Television presenter and actress Denise Welsh, who has often been referred to.
Huns?
It's called hun culture.
Yeah. Hun culture.
Hun culture.
This never heard of it.
This is a new one.
Not to be confused with Attila the Hun.
No. This is.
Oh, you don't know how much you like the Spice Girls.
This is a new word. After the 1940s.
From the 40s.
And that's the end of the show.
As the show ends, Ned, what are the scores? Ned, what are the scores? Ned, and Ned, what are the scores, please?
Well, it's been very exciting. No one knows what's happened. I'll put you out of your misery. In third place, with 3.5 points, is Gilead. Woo! And in second place, after a masterful, well, probably the best ever quickfire round, is the Colonies with 4.5 points. But the winners are High Mind for 5.5 points.
So it's a Beveragino in the garden to our winners and a lifetime supply of Natalie Cassidy to our losers. And I'll leave you on this thought from France. A hungry stomach has no ears. So that either means that if you didn't find this podcast funny, try listening to it again after lunch, or it means that the French medical schools are far worse than I thought. Please give it up for Alice Fraser and Zoe Brownstein and the Colonies, Shazia Mirza, Esther Menito from Gilead, Samuel Wolf on the keys, Ned Sedgwick in Penance Corner, The Hive Mind. I have been Abigail Shimon. Thank you and good night. You have been listening to by Ned Sedgwick. Music was by Samuel Wolf. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producers for the Spontaneity Shop was Tom Zielinski. Thanks to Zoe, Becca, and everyone at King's Place. For more information about this and other episodes, please visit globalpillage.net.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.